The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, we talked last night about growth, and we continue to see that from this Bucks team as a look. This was an offensive game that we saw tonight. If you liked offense, you had quite a bit of it. 132 from the Bucks, 125 from the Dallas Mavericks. If you liked pick and rolls, you saw both teams go with a very, very heavy pick and roll offense. But again, one of the biggest differences in this iteration of the Bucks versus what we had seen the last 5 years, and I know there's a championship within those 5 years, but some of the confidence as this group starts to develop that chemistry, we heard a lot about that after the game, we can get into as well from Adrian Griffin. But as this group starts to develop that chemistry, we have never seen anything like the potential that this offense brings to the table in the sense that you have a closer in Damian Lillard. And as he and Giannis have continued to develop that chemistry, you've seen Giannis's play increase as well. Tonight was the best we've seen Giannis this season. And not only that, tonight was the best we had seen Giannis in quite some time. He played within himself, within the game, all night long. He did not force anything. He took three-pointers. He hit one of them. But you didn't really see Giannis settling. I know there was one or two possessions in the third quarter when this offense kind of got stuck in mud. And the Mavs started the run. It was a two-point Bucks lead at halftime. Before you knew it, the Mavs were up double figures. But outside of those two possessions, maybe, you saw Giannis continually attacking the basket, waiting, displaying patience, waiting for the defense to overcommit or overreact, and eventually getting his way into the basket. Or towards the basket, I should say. And then when it wasn't there, realizing it's not there, pulling up and finding the open teammate. Giannis was absolutely incredible tonight. And look, you don't expect that type of stat line every single game. That stat line, by the way, is something that Giannis has done 17 times in the last 5 years. That is the most in the league. I think Luka Doncic has done it 12 or 13 times. Joel Embiid did it around 9 or 10 times. Nikola Jokic, the same amount. Giannis, 17 times. Nobody has done it that much. That being 40 points, 40 or more points, 10 or more rebounds, and 5 or more assists. You don't expect 82 games of this, but I think tonight showed you this is what's possible with this group. And we go back to the very beginning of the year. Even prior to that, when they made the trade for Damian Lillard and you knew the cost was going to be Jrue Holiday, you assumed this is going to impact the defense rather significantly. A lot of the prevailing thought was, look, what we just talked about, this changes the game for you big time. This tilts things down floor for your offense. This gives you a bona fide closer. This gives you a guy that can hit those free throws late in the game. This gives you a guy that not only gets there, makes those shots. He can tilt the axis of the court given the moment he crosses midcourt. That's within his range. And as we've continued to see more and more of in these last, what, three, four, five games, his ability to penetrate, finish at the basket, and then also his passing ability. I mean, tonight, 12 assists in the way he found teammates. We saw more of that in Toronto in that win against the Raptors. So all of that, you knew the offense would take a massive step forward, or at least we thought. And it's still getting there. It's taken a step forward, but in terms of massive, it's still getting there. Defense, while there would be some lumps, and we certainly saw that the first four games of the season, the thought was, okay, you can get better. Defense is something you can work at, and I'm not trying to undersell individual defenders. I'm certainly not trying to undersell the type of player that Jrue Holiday is. But I think the thought that a lot of coaches will tell you is you can improve your defense. You can take an average defense and as you continue to work on it, we can get to above average. You can take an above average defense, and as you move into the playoffs, you move through the season, you work on some of these things, you can make that above average defense pretty good. You can take a good defense and make it elite, etc. Offense is not necessarily the same when you get to the playoffs because everything changes. You need some dynamic scores. You need some good half-court players, and the Bucks were just void of that, at least in the respect of a player like Damian Lillard. And we've been through a number of these clutch situation games now already this season, and the Bucks have been pretty good in them. But it's just the mental mindset of how you feel approaching the final few minutes of a game knowing that you have Damian Lillard on your team. And I think that was part of what we saw tonight. A bigger part, though, was just how dominant Giannis was and really has been for the last 5 to 6 games now. 5 out of the last 6 games, he's had 30 or more points and 10 or more rebounds. Tonight, to me, without question, was the best we have seen Giannis, not only this season, in a season, by the way, where he already had a 54-point game and 46 points through 3 quarters in Indiana. But not only the best that we have seen Giannis this season, the best we have seen him in quite some time. So that's my long ramble to start the show by what we saw tonight. I do want to open things up for you to chime in as well. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight. You can text in your thoughts or give us a call as well. But that's the number to join us on Bucks Talk. A very, very good win for this Bucks team for a number of reasons. This is a good Dallas Mavericks team. Now, is this a Mavericks team that is going to win the Western Conference? I don't think so. But they're at least going to be in the conversation because of the offense that they bring to the table and the pace that they play at. This was a nice regular season test for a Bucks team that is still learning and growing and figuring things out on both ends of the floor. So this was a very nice win, and especially nice when you factor in some of the names that weren't out there. Jay Crowder and what he's going to bring to your perimeter defense. Marjon Beauchamp, the same we can say for him. And, of course, Chris Middleton and what you missed there. So a very, very good win for the Bucks. Time to hear from you and your thoughts on this one and the last 9 games overall because, again, it's a small sample size, but those numbers keep moving upward for the Bucks on both ends of the floor. 855-616-1620. The old National Bank talk and text line. We'll hear from you after this on Bucks Talk. .132-125, the final score here inside of Fiserv Forum. The Bucks get to 9-4 on the season. And this was, as we just talked about, the best we have seen Giannis in quite some time. And this was certainly the best we had seen from Giannis with Damian Lillard since that pairing was created to start this season. And Adrian Griffin talked about this not only today after the game. He's talked about this quite a bit after the last couple of games. But Adrian Griffin talked about the win and what he saw from this group. And a couple of the things that he said after this game tonight that stood out to me were about the chemistry and about the play of those two guys, of Giannis and Damian Lillard, that they just trusted the pass. And as Griff said, we're building something special. And you can feel it. We had energy from the crowd and the fans. That was terrific, and we didn't look back. It was a great character game. Second night of a back-to-back, we were shorthanded. Again, no Jay Crowder, no Marjon Beauchamp. You didn't have Chris Middleton with it being a back-to-back. And you were still able to win this game against a high-octane Mavericks offense. High-character game, total team win. This is what the fans wanted to see, Adrian Griffin said, in Damian Lillard and Giannis. And your fourth quarter, and this was big, your fourth quarter has to be your best quarter, especially when you're playing a terrific team. So what we did in that fourth quarter was huge. The way they started the second half, very underwhelming. And when you look at how they closed out the first half, even, they built up that 11-point lead. Andre Jackson Jr. was pretty big in some moments there. Again, another game where Andre Jackson Jr. finishes scoreless, and you may just examine the box score and say, well, clearly the rookie is still learning things. He found a way to impact the game without scoring the basketball. And I know that's something that harkens back to the days of Mike Budenholzer, but it's every coach that'll tell you, find ways to impact the game without scoring the basketball. And I think that's what Marjon Beauchamp has done in brief stretches. It's what Andre Jackson has done quite a bit in his rookie season here. So Adrian Griffin, pleased with what he saw from that duo, trusting their teammates. You go back to last night, too. Giannis and Dame, both trusting Pat Connaughton and finding him. Damian Lillard did it tonight in the corner twice. Penetrate and kick, finding Pat Connaughton and trusting that he was going to hit that shot. But the other big thing was, and I don't want to rehash the past and go through just how ridiculous the middle of this week was with some of the online discourse by Bucks fans. But this is what you asked for. You wanted a coach that you perceived was going to make adjustments, was going to do things differently, was going to look at how the game was playing out and say, okay, we can't do this anymore. We should do more of this. We should change things up and do that. That is all Adrian Griffin has done throughout the course of his first season on the sidelines as a head coach. And he even said tonight, look, I'm still learning. I will get better at this. The players are figuring each other out. They're developing that chemistry. I'm doing the same. I'm figuring this team out. I know what Chris Middleton can do. I've competed against him, not as a player, but as a coach. Same for Giannis, same for Damian Lillard and Bobby Portis. I saw this from the sidelines when I was in Toronto. But I'm still learning these guys. And we're still figuring out how do we forge this relationship, this path that we forge going forward. What's the best way to do it? Last night's show, we talked about Damian Lillard approaching Adrian Griffin and saying, hey, you know, it would be helpful and it would probably get me going a little bit more if I played the entire first quarter. I did that a lot in Portland. I think that would help me kind of find my rhythm and sort through that slow start I'd gotten off to. Oh, by the way, Damian Lillard has started to put that behind him, and it coincides with him playing the entirety of the opening quarter. Again, Brook Lopez and how you've used him and the things that we've heard Adrian Griffin say about Brook Lopez and his defense the last couple of games. But the bigger part to me was, you know, one of the questions prior to the game to Griff was about their two-man game with Giannis and Damian Lillard. And the question was about, you know, you guys haven't really run a whole lot of pick and rolls with that duo. And I think all of us assume coming into the season you were going to spam that, and that would be a bulk of the Bucks' offense is this two-man game that all of us have played on NBA 2K in video games, and it's been unstoppable for us. So, of course, it's going to happen in real life as well. But as Adrian Griffin said, look, we haven't done it so much, but we have other options, right? We have Brook Lopez that we can set up a two-man game with Damian Lillard, with Giannis as well. We have Chris Middleton when he's out there. He and Giannis already have that chemistry. But the other thing you have to keep in mind is, you know, when you're going against a team that has good individual defenders, their best two defenders are probably going to be on Giannis and Damian Lillard. So I'm not saying it won't work. But theoretically, you're just switching off one good defender to another. Now, I know size is an impact there as well. But it's those types of things that it's easy for us to sit back and look at and say, well, why wouldn't you do this? There's a little more to it, right? There's more behind it. But defensively, we've seen this team make so many adjustments, so many changes within the midst of a game, from game to game as well. But in this game, we've seen it a handful of times already this season. This may be the one that stood out the most tonight, what the Bucks did and some of those changes that they made on the defensive end of the floor. We'll get to that. And I also want to take a look at how this team has performed in those clutch situations. I mentioned the Dallas Mavericks were unbeaten in clutch games coming into this season. The Bucks hand them their first loss in that spot. So we'll take a look at some of those clutch rankings. And speaking of rankings and ratings, our nightly look at where the Bucks currently sit in terms of offensive rankings, defensive, and your net rating. In the games played since November 3rd, when Adrian Griffin made the biggest of all of these changes that he has made, putting Brook Lopez closer to the basket. We'll get to that conversation after this on Bucks Talk.
The hard.
Bucks improved to 9-4 on the season after another very, very nice win tonight at home against the Dallas Mavericks. Defense I wouldn't say optional because I think they pushed the right buttons at the right time. I mentioned some of the adjustments that Adrian Griffin has continued to make. We saw some big ones defensively tonight in the fourth quarter. I do want to get to some of the comments that he had about how this team played in the fourth and how they approached their defense and the importance of what they did moving into those final 5 minutes, which allowed them to do some of those things that they changed up defensively. And again, our nightly look at where the Bucks have been in the ratings since November 3rd, when they switched back to a defense that more closely resembled the way they played a season ago with Brook Lopez in the drop. But time to get to some of your texts and phone calls as well. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's go to the phone lines and kick things off with Dick in Port Washington. What's going on tonight, Dick?
Well, I don't want to talk about the game. Mrs. Dick said I was a little harsh related to the circus that's going on with the tournament. So I'm done. I'm not going to talk any more about that. But and one of the things I totally agree with you. The junk that's been on the internet about our coaching staff and the poor trade and blah 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 blah. I just want to point out a couple of things. I think Griffin has been taking correct timeouts. A lot of times, and I guess the only way you can do this is compare the previous coach. But, I mean, he got us a championship. I love him, the guy and everything else. But a lot of times it was too late. I think that what we're seeing here is a lot more exciting and not so cookie cutter as it was under Bud. I think that what we see with our two superstars, they're really trying to make this work. I'm not so sure, looking at Dallas tonight, that Luka and Kyrie are on the same page. We are. Yeah. I just think we're just heading upwards. I think the criticism is bogus. And I love the way he's incorporating the younger guys into meaningful minutes. Marcus mentioned this all night long. I mean, you know, Green coming in, making some big buckets. I mean, I think he had 6 or 9. You take that off the score, it's a lot closer. You have the kid from Villanova filling in. He's not scoring, but we don't need scoring. We need defense. All I can see here from the new regime, the new players, is an uptick. It's not the same old stuff. And I think this is what we needed. I'm an old guy, so I keep going back. You know, there was a football coach in San Francisco said, you know, every 5 to 7 years, you got to get rid of the coach, if for no other reason, because the coaches heard, or the players have heard the same thing over and over. And another real positive of Adrian is that he's listening and he's reacting to what the players say. And I just think it's a real uptick. And this was a great game tonight.
He's I agree with all of that he's listening. And I think the larger point that you made, too, is that the unfortunate part is, you know, sometimes it's just time to move on. And I think that's where we were, to that last point you made about what the actual life cycle is in any stop, you know, in any coaching stop or any job for that matter too, of at some point, and I know this wasn't totally the case with the Bucks, but at some point there's so much change around you that you just need that fresh voice. And when there isn't that change, things have a tendency to get stale. And it certainly seemed like that's where we were getting. I know there was a lot of things that went into the last 2 years with the Bucks ultimately falling short of their goal, but I think that's what it was headed towards. And I'm with you that I have nothing bad to say about Mike Budenholzer. He is one of two coaches in this organization to win a head coach. The Bucks are a perennial title contender, largely because of Giannis, but the way that Mike Budenholzer helped him get to that next level and all of the things, the baseline that he built here in Milwaukee, he lifted your floor and raised your ceiling at the same time. But with Adrian Griffin, look, we talked about this team needing some time to develop their chemistry, and as he keeps saying, we're learning each other. You know, the same applies to him. I know he is a long-time assistant coach, but it's different to be a head coach, and I think you've seen him learn as well through these first 14 games. But I agree with the way that he calls timeouts, and I think the other thing that is worth pointing out is he's talked about this in a few other spots with runs and with things like technical fouls that, you know, this is an emotional game, and it's only human for your emotions to get the best of it. But what he has preached to the team is it's okay for that to happen and for you to be impacted by that and for you to maybe be thrown off or off your game for a possession or two. But, you know, once we get that out of our system, you got to collect yourself and you got to recover. And I think that's part of the whole timeouts is I'm giving you guys a chance here. This hasn't worked, but based on what we've worked on and film session and walkthrough and that whole part two of, all right, you got to collect yourself here. If it doesn't work after a couple of possessions, then we're going to call a timeout to stop the bleeding and go over some of this stuff.
Yeah. And a point I want to make to your point that's very true. Luka tonight gave up, you guys got the numbers there, but I thought at least twice he gave up a turnover bucket to us. Because he's standing back arguing with the official and not playing defense. Because he's the guy that lost the ball, we took it, and we scored. Now, I might be wrong about that, but I think you're right. Griff says you can complain, but play defense first.
Right.
And I think Luka tonight gave up 4 points to us that he was just standing back arguing.
Yeah, there was one where Campaign started the fast break, and Luka just kind of stayed at the free throw line and may have made it back to half court, and that gave the Bucks the numbers. But look, the other part, and I kind of mentioned this before too, is what impressed me the most. Well, I don't know if that's even the right word, but just it's the chorus that we heard the most of when you talk about complaints with the previous coaching staff is there were no changes and there were no adjustments, and now you're getting it. Right? Like, you look at how they defended the Mavs down the stretch. As Griff said after the game, a big part of that was we have the lead, so it allowed us to do things a little differently. But you could tell their game plan for this was, we know Kyrie Irving is good. We know Luka Doncic is good. We may not have great individual perimeter defenders, so those guys can score, and they will score. But it's going to come down to Tim Hardaway Jr. and Grant Williams. We're not going to let those guys score. The stretches where they did go off, that's when the Mavs were playing their best. But in the fourth quarter, they did not.
Yeah. And I think, and I just thought of this, you know, and maybe in 5 years it won't be this way. Right now, Coach Griffin is having the attitude that I'm not the smartest guy in the room on here. I know I've got to make the decisions here. And I think that's a big plus for a team that's transitioning to – I mean, we've got 40% of our starting lineup different. How many guys off the bench are different? And it's a team in flux. And you can't be rigid. And again, I love Bud. I don't think Bud would have coached this team the same way Griffin is. And I think Griffin's going to do a better job in the long haul. Nothing against Coach Bud. He won us a championship, but this is like a perfect mating to me. And again, let's go back to Horst and say, wow. I mean, when he got the job, I thought, where'd this guy come from? But he's right on. He's got the pulse of everything. That's my opinion.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dick. I agree with most of those points. Yeah. And look, the other part, too, was their defense. How they changed it up and – As you know, I've said, as Dick said, as a couple other people pointed out, this is not an attack on Mike Budenholzer, but the way they defended the Mavs for stretches of this game tonight, specifically Luka Doncic, the way they defended him, you would not have seen that over the course of the previous five seasons. That we play the drop defense. We know what we do best. We're going to do that, and we're not going to throw any massive adjustments out there because our belief is, you know, if you just look at the numbers and chance and statistics, I don't think this player X is going to continue to shoot at this percentage, or all those shots are going to continue to fall. So let's just keep doing what we do best, and eventually things will start to go our way. This game, a couple of times, it felt like this could be getting out of reach, and that's when we saw the Bucks start to switch some things up. We've seen them do it in previous games as well, where you go to a zone defense. We've seen that a couple of times. We've seen them trap and press a couple of times as well. But tonight what they did was they blitzed Luka Doncic. We saw Bobby Portis doing it a couple of times in the first half. But especially in the second half, they were doing it a lot more because Luka Doncic started the third quarter with 10 of the Mavericks' 13 points on a 13-0 run too quickly in what? It spanned a 2 minutes, take an 11-point lead. And that's when it felt like this could be teetering. We saw the Bucks start to blitz him and say, look, Luka Doncic can get to his spot, and he's got whoever it is. If it's Andre Jackson or Pat Connaughton, Malik Beasley, he can slow things down, get them on his hip, and get to his spot right around the free throw line. He's either hitting the jumper or getting to the line. We're going to start blitzing him to get the ball out of his hands and to go back to the other point to say, okay, if Grant Williams is going to beat us in this spot, fine, but Luka has been red hot. Luka's not doing it. And maybe it's luck, maybe it's those stats and chance and what the analytics will say, but we saw all those other guys start to clam up and or go cold down the stretch when Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving were not. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's squeeze in one more call here before we take a break. Let's talk with Will I Am. What's going on tonight, Will? Were you at the game?
Yes, Justin, at the game. Thanks for taking the call. Fortunately, was doing a little vacation yesterday. Tried to text the line. That doesn't matter. Tonight's game, insane. We were talking about it last time. It's going to take a little bit to get the car going. But man, when we got that car going, it looked great. I never, unlike you, felt the game was out of reach. I feel, just like Dick said, a very well-coached game by Coach Griff here. Even though when it hit that 12 or 13, I think it was 12, that they extended the lead to, never felt like we got out of it. I also loved the rotations. I know I say that a lot, but, man, to get A.J. Green in there, to switch it up and provide a different boost where, you know, you can't just rely on the same people. And then to see Pat Connaughton really excel in this game-changing. Also, you know, obviously Dame coming alive, MVP Giannis out, you know, great sight to see against, you know, a number three rated Mavericks team. The ball movement changed the game, Justin, let's be real. That ball movement, the pick-and-roll action, and then the ability to let loose. And when you see the rookies and the youngins gunning, for people, like you said, like blitzing Luka, blitzing Kyrie, I just can't give enough credit to Coach Griff for making those rotations to give them the opportunity to get them off. And obviously they're pros, but they went cold right as we got hot. Man, we busted that thing open, Justin. Oh my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, Griff just seemed to push the right buttons tonight, and you know, it also helps to have Giannis and Dame on your team. And the way that those two have come together as well, you know, I think, and it's not to say they needed it or they can't play together, but I do think a big part of what we've seen was that stretch of, what, three or four games where you had Giannis on the floor with no Dame, and then for one game we had Dame without Giannis, that maybe that's something that both of these guys needed to just kind of spark, okay, this is how it used to be, to get you going and then carry that into playing together.
Yeah, it felt great to finally see the gears getting pushed, the ability to get that uphill when we need Giannis, when we need Dame, to close it out going 9-for-10 from the free throw line. I am so proud to see that Giannis stepping up and manning up to those free throws. Again, people saying they're going to be short, watching him with that release and with the knees, money. And then also to allow Dame not necessarily to need the fourth quarter, but other quarters to get him involved, the ball movement, the passing, the small things that we all knew was going to be, hey, it's his time, Giannis' time. And that's how we got that win, Justin. Go Bucks, baby. Love it.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Will. A good win for this Bucks team who have all of a sudden, again, have they been playing the Celtics and the Sixers? And they have one game against the Sixers, but have they been playing the teams at the top of the conference? Maybe not so much, though this Mavs team was tied for first in the West. We mentioned you open the season with the Sixers. You're going to see the Celtics on Wednesday. But the group that they have played, and especially over the course of the last nine games, it may surprise you in where they currently sit in terms of those things we mentioned before in the offensive ratings, defensive ratings, etc. So we'll take a look at the updates where the Bucks currently sit since November 3rd. And again, some of the adjustments Adrian Griffin made tonight, we'll take a look at that and what we continue to see from this young group after this on Bucks Talk. Home win tonight for the Bucks, who take down Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, and the Dallas Mavericks in a offensive game, to say the least, that I'm going to guess featured the most pick and rolls in any individual game we had seen so far this season. A couple of texts to get to here on our text line, 855-616-1620. And Giannis still the MVP and most dominant player in the league. One of those texts, Bucks balance with Giannis and Dame is starting to click. And that may be the biggest takeaway that we saw tonight, 67 combined points from that duo. But it wasn't just the scoring. It was the way they played off of each other, the inside-outside game. Giannis did attempt three-pointers in this game, but he did most of his damage around the basket. And not only did most of his damage, he took the majority of his shots there. Not just outside of those three-point attempts. I think he took three other shots that were mid-range shots, including the one that iced the game. He was very patient tonight. He waited for the openings. Even times when we would see Giannis, I don't know if I'd use the word force, but just try to be a brute force and get to his spot despite the fact that he did not have the numbers. Whenever we saw that, he would either wait for the defense to overcommit and find his teammate or just wait for that small sliver of an opening. He was fantastic tonight. Now, we mentioned where this team currently sits and the growth that we've seen in the last nine games especially. So for the season as a whole, the Bucks right now have the seventh-rated offense in the league at 116.9 offensive rating. Their defensive rating is 114.6, which is currently 23rd in the NBA. Now, we should point out they are less than a point per 100 possessions away from four other teams in front of them. They're just over a point away from five. So they're much closer to the middle of the pack. They're much closer to being 15th in defensive rating than they are to being 30th. There's a lot that separates 30 and 23. It's 7 points per 100 possessions. 23 and 15 is right now separated by 3 points per 100 possessions. So again, it's not a dominant elite defense like we had seen in the past, but it's not horrendous as it was in the first four games of the season. And their net rating currently sits at 11th at 2.3. Again, not where we've seen it in the past, but getting better. If we look at the numbers since November 3rd, Bucks have the seventh best offense at 118.9. They have the 12th best defense at 112.7. And I know last night when we talked, it was 8th in offense, 8th in defense. And they have the 7th best net rating at 6.2. Top 10 in offense, top 10 in net rating, close to top 10 in defense. That's the thing to keep an eye on in what this team has done since they've made those defensive adjustments, the wholesale ones, November 3rd when they took on the New York Knicks. We'll wrap up the show, preview what's up next for the Bucks Monday night in D.C. against the Wizards next on Bucks Talk. Another very good win for the Bucks tonight as they take down Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, and the high-octane Dallas Mavericks offense. They do so with a high-powered offense of their own. 67 combined points from Giannis and Damian Lillard. 40 points from Giannis, as we mentioned at the top of the show. It is the 17th time in the last five seasons that Giannis has had a stat line of 40 or more points, 10 or more rebounds, and 5 or more assists, that 17 number. is the most in the NBA during that stretch. And I mentioned where the Bucks currently sits in their offensive, defensive, and net ratings since November 3rd when the New York Knicks came to town. And that defensive rating number slid. Last night, it was 8. They were 8th in offense, 8th in defense, 8th in net rating. After tonight's game, they slide down to 12th in defensive rating. But here's the other thing to keep in mind. When we talk about these teams that the Bucks have played this season, and during this stretch especially, they played the Indiana Pacers, and granted they lost that game, but they played the Indiana Pacers, just over a week ago. Indiana Pacers right now, during that stretch of time, have the number one rated offense in the league by a wide margin at 126.7. They played the New York Knicks to start that stretch. They won that game. The New York Knicks have the number two rated offense in the league at 122.1. Tonight, they played and beat the Dallas Mavericks, who have the third best offense in the league at 120.3. And you got the Boston Celtics coming up as well. Boston, during that stretch, the offense that the Celtics have featured here is 10th in the league. So you've got this stretch of games where you are going to be playing top-tiered offenses, and this defense is starting to look better. Monday night in D.C., 6 o'clock tip-off. We will have our pregame show starting at 5:30, and as always, Bucks talk immediately after the game. My thanks to everybody for tuning in. Matt Sossler for producing the show. Talk to you Monday night with more Bucks talk.